You are flying high with Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am not Michael Kist. I am Ben Solak, your co-host from Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting on location. This is Mobile, Alabama, and I'm on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Mike is not joining me right now because Mike is out of commission. Mike, come here. Speaking of the mic, let everybody hear how you sound, dude.
Yeah. So I had a great night last night, as you can hear. So yep. I'm going to let these guys take it over.
Yeah, Mike, that thing says it all. There's nothing really. Mike sounds like death. Mike sounds like Satan. And it's okay because I've got guests here to help me out. We're going to be recapping the first 2 days of the Senior Bowl, some of the stuff we've seen. We're about an hour out from day three practice, the final practices. We're talking a little bit about the last stuff that we'd like to see. I'm joined at first by Brad Kelly. He's a friend of the podcast, been on before. Brad, thank you so much for joining us, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so first, plug your stuff. Where are you at on Twitter? Where do you write? What's your goods?
Twitter is at BradKelly17. It's K-E-L-L-Y-1-7. Write for Breaking Football at Breaking_FB, BreakingFootball.com.
Now, Brad is a huge wide receiver focus sort of a guy. He's an expert analyst. He knows stuff that I do not know. I have no idea what he's talking about half of the time. And so he's very valuable. Good follow on Twitter if you're looking into that. For Eagles fans specifically, Brad, Torrey Smith is a guy that we've had on the roster. We're not sure if we're keeping him. We can pretty much move on to him with no hit to the cap. A little bit old, wasn't as effective as we would like. You have to imagine that Philadelphia's going to move on from him. Torrey Smith plays the Z for Philadelphia primarily. He's, you know, off the line of scrimmage. Doesn't have to deal with the press the way that Alshon Jeffrey might. We like him as the deep threat. First question I'm going to ask for you is just if we're specifically targeting a player like that, playing the Z spot on the line for Philadelphia, who do you like here of this group of receivers in Mobile who could fill that role?
Right, so we talked about James Washington in the past being similar to Torrey Smith when Torrey Smith was young with the Ravens. And he has flashed here at Mobile. He won a couple deep posts yesterday in one-on-one drills and really got the attention of the crowd. But I think the number one player at receiver so far has been Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the buzz of the Senior Bowl so far. He's getting open at will. Physically cannot press him because his footwork is too good at the line of scrimmage, and he's just been eating on all these corners.
So let me ask you, Brad, when you go back to the tape, I liked what I saw from Deshaun Hamilton, right, out of Penn State. He was a good kid. I watched him a couple of times, but I didn't expect this. And he was right. A Shrine Game guy earlier. He was not an original Senior Bowl invite, which means really the bowl guys didn't necessarily expect this either. How is it that a player can come out the way that Deshaun Hamilton did? Was a steady Eddie sort of a dude for Penn State. Thought it'd be a good day three value selection. How is it he can come out and surprise against so many wide receivers that were considered, like, you know, round two guys?
Right, so I spoke with him yesterday after practice. He said that the Shrine Week last week, having those practices really let him like get into the groove early this week. So on day one of practice, last week he had three practices in a game. Everyone else is just getting their football legs back. He said he thinks that helped him a lot and kind of feels like he's back in season.
That's really interesting because I spoke to Chad Thomas, defensive end out of Miami, who's now out with a groin strain. Very upset about that because I like Chad. I like Chad Thomas a lot. And he said a very similar thing. You know, he came from the Shrine Game, and he said, I feel like I do have a little bit of an edge. I've been through this process before. I went through it 1 week ago, and so I kind of know how things are going to go. I think that gives me a little bit of a boost. So it's interesting to hear that. Now, I know big media, you know, looking at what NFL Network, ESPN have been talking about, same guys you named, they're very impressed with James Washington. They're very impressed with Deshaun Hamilton. You've been on location. You've been looking at every single rep of these wide receivers. I'm going to press you. I want to ask you for the guy that nobody's talking about who you believe in, the guy who big media isn't paying as much attention to. He's not getting as much camera time, but he's impressed you with his work here at Mobile. You're excited to go back to his tape.
It's Justin Watson out of Penn.
Really?
Yes. 6'2". He's over 200 pounds. He's won a few deep balls. He had a one-handed catch in the first day downfield, like for a touchdown. He had a few catches where he had to extend over his head and grab, and I've been pretty impressed with him. His releases are average. I don't think he knows how to win the line of scrimmage yet, but he does come from the FCS. He's a smart kid. He's an Ivy League kid, and I think that he's going to be able to absorb everything that he learns at the next level.
What round do you like him?
I haven't been able to watch the tape on him, but the way he's been playing down here, probably in the mid-rounds, fourth, maybe fifth.
All right, I like that a lot. Let's move on to the tight ends because I snapped a picture yesterday. Troy Fumagalli, tight end out of Washington, Wisconsin, was speaking to a Philadelphia Eagles scout. They went and got him right away after he practiced, I believe, with the North squad. Now, you a little bit of work on the tight ends. I know you're a big Ian Thomas fan, but what have you seen from Troy Fumagalli this week? Obviously, two big tight end names go down. That's Adam Brenneman out of UMass, and then the big one, Dallas Goedert out of South Dakota State. Two guys who really, I think, were in line for great weeks, for great practices. Both hamstring injuries on the first day. Goddard only ran two routes, and now they're gone. I think Fumagalli is probably the strongest of the tight ends left here in Mobile. I don't know. It's a tough group to riddle out. What have you seen from Fumagalli specifically?
Right, he's been great up the seam. He has not been able to be covered by linebackers. A couple reps yesterday, he was wide open up in the seam, and Josh Allen just overthrew him by 5 yards. Mm-hmm. But he's pretty much been getting open out well. Him and Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki is probably the best route runner that's right here.
Yeah, Mike. I forgot about Mike Gesicki.
But I think Fumagalli, I think he has a little bit of everything at tight end.
Yeah, now he reminds me a touch of Brent Celek because I don't think he's the greatest at separating. He strikes me as a bit of a one-gear dude. And even in Brent Celek's heyday when he was young and an athlete, he never really had much of a second gear. But really rock steady. He catches very well through contact, so I like that a lot. And then Fumagalli seems to be an excellent blocker. We don't see that much down here in Mobile. That's not as much on the drills. But if you go to Fumagalli's tape, that seems to be something he can do quite well. And that's something Philadelphia needs. Because if they decide to move on from Brent Celek this year, he could be a cap casualty. They've only got Ertz and Trey Burton, who also could be gone. And both of those guys can't block very well. Philadelphia will need to bring in more of a blocking tight end, which is why I'm interested in Fumagalli. The other guy I'm interested in is Durham Smythe. That's this kid out in Notre Dame. I've been really impressed with him. Talking about Fumagalli only having one gear, I think Smythe's got a little bit more burst to him, which really, really interests me. Very underutilized in Notre Dame. And a wide receiver, Equanimee of St. Brown out of Notre Dame, is the same situation. Their quarterback play was just abysmal there in South Bend. And so it really hurts your evaluation there. I was excited to see Smythe come out here, play with some good quarterbacks. He's really impressed me as far as another tight end in this group.
And he is absolutely chiseled. He walked out of the way, and his body type was just very impressive. And yeah, like you said, he was very underutilized. They pretty much never used him in the pass game. And like you said, their quarterback play as far as throwing the ball goes was borderline atrocious. So I think definitely here with a better quarterback play, I think he's improved his stock.
No, absolutely. All right, I'm going to flip it over to the defensive side. I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about some of these DBs. I know they're going up against the wide receivers in the reps. Who stood out to you after 2 days?
The best corner so far has been Isaac Diadam from Boston College.
He had a good day yesterday.
He had a great day yesterday. He's 6'1". I think he had the third longest arms among the corners. He has absolutely clamped up Michael Gallup every time he's gone against him. One rep yesterday, Gallup was trying to go deep, and Diadam looking lean to him all the way off the sideline. He was covering Justin Watson at one point yesterday. And Watson had a step on him. Diadam recovered, got in phase, tracked the ball, or looked back for the ball, tracked it, knocked it away right in front of Watson's hands. He's been very impressive.
No, that's excellent stuff. And Diadam was a guy who came in, I think, with less hype than he deserved based off of his tape.
Yeah, and it was overshadowed by the other corner at BC, Cameron Moore, who was supposed to play here, but I think he had an injury.
Right, absolutely. And so I'm very excited that Yedam's getting a little bit of a run. I think he could be a valuable piece as well. Philadelphia likely will be looking more to the safeties. I think that's where the focus is going to be right now. Number three safety, Corey Graham, is on a one-year deal out of Buffalo. He's old. He's a veteran. He has not impressed in his reps. Obviously, Rodney McLeod gets maligned a little bit as well. He's a little bit of an up-and-down player. And then Malcolm Jenkins has proved so valuable to Philadelphia day after day, but he's also getting a little bit long in the tooth. And you don't know how often you get him as safety reps. He plays linebacker half of the time. So right. I think the Eagles could be looking for a speculative ad in the middle rounds at the safety position. I think guys like Armani Watts, Kaiser White, Marcus Allen, they'll probably already be gone. Who are you interested in as far as safety guys, maybe a little bit later in the rounds?
Well, you mentioned Kaiser White, and he's been the talk of the safety group so far. He's been flying around. If they were to target a safety, he would probably be the number one safety on the board. Mm-hmm. But as far as the middle round guys go, I think the kid, Cyron Neal from Jacksonville State.
I like him.
Right. So he played nickel 2 years ago, and that's when his draft stock was really at high. And then they moved him out to outside corner this year, and it kind of like stayed level. But teams like him in that nickel spot, the overhang position, or maybe they don't know if he's a corner or a safety. So it's kind of a hybrid, but he's physical. He can hit decent in coverage, good enough in coverage, definitely as a safety, be able to cover tight ends.
Yeah. You took an end-of-the-week take from me for Locked On Eagles listeners because Cyron Neal started out his career as a linebacker at Jacksonville State. That's how he went to Jacksonville State, if memory serves. And so I like him very much to be Malcolm Jenkins' backup. I really do because he's has experience in college in all three of the positions that Jenkins has played for Philadelphia.
Right, and he was a two-time All-State receiver.
It's absurd.
In high school, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we're talking about an athlete here. We're talking about an athlete, right? He's going to be a good player for somebody. Excellent. All right, last question for you there, Brad. I just want one name that has completely disappointed you, one guy that you're hoping day three of practice he can do something for you to salvage some of his draft stock. Who's just been a big pfft for you?
This one's easy. Marcel Amen, the receiver from Oklahoma State. I was on the other day with you guys, and I mentioned him as someone who I thought with a good week might be able to sneak into the end of the first round. His physical profile is outstanding. He has been a disappointment. He getting contacted in all of his stems. He's not really winning contested catches. I think he's hurt his stock this week.
That's a shame. That was Brad Kelly from Breaking Football. Brad, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
No problem.
And taking Brad's seat now is Michael Peterson, also with Breaking Football. Mike, what's good?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, I appreciate you joining me. Where's all of your stuff? Plug all of your content. Where are you on Twitter?
All right, so on Twitter, I am at Chargers Lately. LA capitalized because I thought that was the most clever thing in the world.
I buy it.
I do a little bit for boltsfromtheblue.com. It's the Los Angeles Chargers SB Nation blog, as well as Breaking Football.
Ryan, we beat you guys this year, so I am sorry about that. You have to take that out. Y'all looked like you had a pretty good year, though, this year. It was you know, if y'all had a kicker, y'all had been in the playoffs. That's pretty much the moral of the story.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I like to tell people the story of our kickers, which is, so with the Jacksonville game, Josh Lambeau kicked that field goal to beat us.
Yep.
Well, so I can sit there and I go, well, we cut that kicker for a kicker who we cut for a kicker that we cut 4 years ago, again, for another kicker who didn't play for 2 years. Yeah, we went through five kickers.
Right, I mean, get it. That makes sense. No, that sounds really rough. Did you see, though, that Auburn kicker yesterday during practice, he decided to line up a 57-yard field goal, right? This Auburn kicker.
Stones on that kid.
Which, honestly, that's a great decision if you ask me. If you're a kicker at the Senior Bowl game, you have nothing to lose, okay? Because you just kind of walk around and don't do much.
Yeah.
If you miss a 57-yarder, okay, nobody cares. You're a college kicker, you miss a 57-yarder, it's the Senior Bowl, screw it. It's not going to affect your draft stock at all. If you hit a 57-yarder, and we're talking there's the goalpost, and then behind it is like a flagpole situation.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Directly in between, splitting the middle, and he hit the pole, which I'm hoping you called pole. Like, you know, you call bank, you shoot a shot. I'm hoping you called pole. That was insane. And he had distance from 60. So, go, draft that guy. Second round. Tampa
Bay Buccaneers. Think when I watched that kick, though, like right after he made it, he was like Baker who. And I think, you know, the only way to get people to stop talking about some of these big names is, you need to just set your stones right in front of everyone and make it happen. And he did that.
I want to see him attempt a 62-yarder today. I want to see him up the ante. I would lose my mind. But let's stick. I'm going to go more Philadelphia Eagles-centered.
Mm-hmm.
We talked wide receivers with Brad. That's sort of his wheelhouse. I'm going to go offensive line with you. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia's primary target has to be offensive tackle. They don't have many holes. That's what happened when you have a Super Bowl roster, in case you're wondering. Yep. But they don't have many holes. Offensive tackle is the one that kind of sticks out, right? Jason Peters, obviously franchise left tackle. Mm-hmm. I know from his agent actually speaking with him earlier this week, Peters intends to be back next year. He very much wants to come back and play, mm-hmm. but he's old. He's had a couple of Achilles injuries now. Uh-huh. You imagine Lane Johnson's moving over. And obviously they've got Big V, who's got playing experience, but he's been a little bit up and down. Beyond that, no depth. So Philadelphia desperately needs to bring in some offensive tackles. We got a couple of studs here this week in my eyes. Who's really stood out to you as an OT?
Well, not just because I'm on an Eagles podcast right now, but Tyrell Crosby is a guy who, the second I saw him, my first thought was, this guy looks like Jason Peters. Mm. And Jason Peters, again, has the surprising athleticism because he did play tight end in college. And you can see that in his footwork. But Tyrell Crosby reminds me mostly of the body comparison in that they both don't have the longest arms in the world. They're a little bit more round around the middle.
Yeah.
But they've got cat-like footwork, and that's where Tyrell Crosby makes his money. He's very quick in his pass set. It's not the widest base in the world, which at first kind of gave me pause. But you'd think that with the short kick that, you know, his feet are narrow and it could allow someone to bull rush him and knock him over. But that's just not the case with Crosby. He does such a good job of staying upright and mirroring opponents. And quite frankly, he might be the top tackle prospect here.
No, I agree with that for sure. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this because I was in the XOS film room watching Crosby very specifically, and it seems to me like when he's on his left-hand side, he's worried about speed. When he's on his left-hand side, he seems to abandon his kick slide a little bit early. He opens up the door a little bit, and he tries to attack speed rushers. He seems to be uncomfortable with his kick slide there. On the right-hand side, he seems to be a little bit more balanced. His body has a little bit more of a tilt to it, which kind of worries me, but he doesn't seem as worried about speed. I think he gains better depth on the right-hand side. Obviously, Crosby has experience playing in both places. Do you like him better at either side based off what you saw in his film, what you've seen this week? Is that something that you're aware of?
Yeah, actually. I was kind of a lone wolf on this, but I could actually see Tyrell Crosby being versatile enough to play inside as well.
Okay.
It worries me, like you said, that he doesn't really trust his own kick when trying to mirror speed rushers on the end. And the thing about Willie Taggart's offense at Oregon was the fact that he called it lethal simplicity. And so while watching Tyrell Crosby, he's not asked to do a whole lot for a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. So when he was asked to pass set, he only had to pass set for about a split second until Justin Herbert got the ball out of his hands.
Right.
And in the run game, again, lethal simplicity, it hits so fast, really instead of having to run block and drive somebody for a prolonged amount of time, he really just had to get in the way. So Tyrell Crosby had a few question marks come in about what can he really do. He looks the part. He has the raw strength. And Mobile was a big part for me to come in and see him play against the best and do everything that a normal NFL tackle can do. And I think he has the ability to do that. He has the chip on his shoulder and the raw strength to move guys in front of him. But I wouldn't be surprised if people want to try him in at guard.
So let me ask you this, because we talked about Crosby's frame, how it matches Jason Peters. Alex Kappa is a guy I'm still trying to figure out. I'm not sold. I like what I see. I'm worried about what I don't. He was a guy who I thought he came in at 299, which is really good for him. I expect him to be a little bit lighter. but I'm not sure how I like how he carried the weight. You know what I mean? I thought, at first I said, okay, I think his frame looks good. I think he's well distributed. But then I watch him go through his reps and I worry about his balance. He seems really low set as far as his weight goes, which really concerns me as a guy who could potentially be handling power at 299. He's not the hugest of dudes. That being said, he's an incredibly vicious player. He seems to deal out power. We saw that in Humboldt State tape. You say, okay, do that against stronger competition, and he has. So I'm not really sure where I sit on him yet. Give me Alex Kappa thoughts.
Yeah, my sight going into Kappa, on the film, again, nasty, nasty, nasty. Mm-hmm. You don't catch the attention of O-line gurus like Duke Manyweather and LeCharles Bentley for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you put on his tape, and he's at Division II Humboldt State, and he's just absolutely hip-tossing everybody. Every single play, this guy wants to put somebody on the ground. And that's great. Half of my, or no, about a quarter of my grade for offensive linemen has to do with the mean streak and how you finish blocks. So it's a big, big box to check off for me. And he did that. And so my biggest thing coming into Mobile was, yeah, how is he going to handle the talent here? It's obviously the best of the best. You have guys like Marcus Davenport and other good edge guys. Unfortunately, guys like Bradley Chubb couldn't be here. But he's done a very good job so far. Again, talking about his body composition, how the weight's distributed across it. I always thought he was a little bit bottom heavy, and his arms just didn't look as solid and as large as some of the other guys you're going to see here. It seemed like he did a lot of his power and stuff comes from his hip work. He's a very strong guy, lower body-wise. But he did show enough tenacity, enough viciousness, especially that run rep against Marcus Davenport, I think, practice one. Because Davenport got him on the very first one-on-ones of the week. Davenport killed him. It was a pass set, and he just ran straight through him. When they did the run game, first one-on-one, Kappa took Davenport 5 yards downfield, and it was absolutely beautiful. Again, he's been up and down, has some really, really big splash plays during one-on-ones and teams. So, again, someone I took with a grain of salt in terms of talent, but he's really shown out here while he's been.
All right, no, and I like that a lot. I think that Kappa is a guy who Philadelphia really needs to take a deep dive into. I'm going to make sure that if they talk to him, I catch it, because I think Kappa is a guy who could be around a little bit later. Philadelphia obviously going to have pick 32, and so they're going to have to invest a later pick and do an offensive tackle. Maybe Kappa's the dude. I'm glad you brought up Davenport, though. That's the edge out of UTSA. I'm going to drop before you hear Mike. Todd McShay said he's a top 15 pick. Todd McShay said he's been the best player here so far. I want to know, do you agree with this take? Do you disagree with this take? And who's the edge? You know, kind of I asked Brad the same thing. Who's the edge that people aren't talking about, the big media? Because a lot of people are talking about Marcus Davenport. Who's the edge that's getting undersold right now?
Edge getting undersold right now. Well, again, let's just start off with Davenport. He, again, reps aren't really there. He's not flashing like everyone thinks he is. Top 15 picks, a little bit of a stretch. McShay, I think, has him as 7th going to, or no, it might have been DJ as well. Daniel Jeremiah has him 7th.
Going to Tampa, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you've been here in Mobile, it's almost far from the case. My guy, Skylar Phillips, he's an offensive guard from Idaho State. He lined up, Davenport did in one-on-ones, and again, this guy stoned him, you know.
Yeah.
And from a smaller school, and so Davenport's not winning the reps that he needs to show out. He's just really not showing what it takes to be an edge or one of the top edges here. As far as edges go, I really haven't seen too many flash. In terms of interior guys, though, Justin Jones, BJ Hill, have been wrecking interior offensive linemen. They've even shown the speed. Guys like Anthony Brown and Nathan Shepard before he got hurt were guys who really showed some speed, who could maybe kick out to outside in some certain looks. But, again, Davenport, really not where we want to be right now.
I agree. Hey, BJ Hill threw a spin move on a 300-pound man spin move. That was the tightest I think I've ever seen in my entire life. It was pretty. I lost my mind. And here, I'll ask you about this now. We're talking about interior alignment. I think BJ Hill, fantastic. Justin Jones been fantastic. Curious what you think about Harrison Phillips. Came in with a lot of talk. Harrison Phillips is one of the weirdest builds I think I've ever seen for an interior defensive lineman. He's a confusing dude to me. And he has some go-to moves, but he doesn't execute them effectively. He's got some raw power. I'm not sure how he distributes it. Harrison Phillips has been a guy, again, another one that there's a lot of love has been given to over the past week, especially by the big media, kind of thinking that he was going to come in and dominate. I'm curious where you land on him.
I really like Harrison Phillips. I thought he had a pretty decent build. He's just a large man in general, honestly. And I like him probably in that 3-tech. He's not as broad. I mean, again, he's 6'4", so roughly around 300 pounds, I believe. But in terms of a space eater, he's not going to be a Brandon Meebane or a Vince Wilfork type of player.
Right.
So I like him more in that 3-tech. Not the fastest guy off the line. Not someone with incredible athleticism. My comp for him was sort of Bo Allen. And again, ironic that I'm on an Eagles podcast right now. But Bo Allen was a guy who, again, not scary, rare athleticism, but just a blue-collar guy who just works his ass off and hopefully, you know, makes the team. And Harrison Phillips, or Bo Allen did that, excuse me. And Harrison Phillips is just going to be one of those guys. Again, not going to wow you with anything, but in terms of work ethic and just being a big guy up front, wanting to impose as well, I like him a lot.
All right, last question for you, Mike. Same as Brad. One guy you were high on coming in who just has blown it these past 2 days. You need something good from him out of day 3.
Brandon Parker, actually, not one of the biggest names. He plays for one of the HBCUs, North Carolina A&T. Not a lot of film on him coming in. I think I watched the last game against Grambling State, and he looked really good. I'm not going to lie. A true 6'7", about 315 pounds, has the intangibles you want, length and all that, but has really, really struggled with speed rushers. Uwosu out of USC absolutely murdered him first day of one-on-ones, and he hasn't shown a lot of solid reps in one-on-ones and in team. I think I've seen one good rep out of him this entire week. So as a guy that I was really high on in terms of these lower-level guys who I thought had potential through the roof, he was one of them, and unfortunately hasn't stuck up to that.
All right, that was Mike Peterson, Bolsonaro Blue. Thank you so much, Mike. Locked On Eagles listeners, we are live here from Mobile again Thursday. We will be again on Friday. As always, please leave a rating, review, and a subscription on whatever app you listen to your podcast. Visit the T Public store. Stay on LockedOnEagles.com for all of your Locked On Eagles content. As we wrap up Senior Bowl week, we start to look ahead to the Super Bowl. That, Mike, by the way, is the game you get in when you're the best team in the NFC. I just like to keep on reminding our listeners of that in case that they forget.
Yeah, either way, relate.
I've been Benjamin Solak on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. You can't hear Michael Kist on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL because his voice is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
Keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.